Hi, everybody. This is Phil the Issues Guy from issuesprogram.com and Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Do you like television? Do you like talking about television? Do you have problems and can't sleep at night? If you any of those things are true, come on down and join Phil the Issues Guy on YouTube. Phil's recap and review, or check out issuesprogram.com to check out our stuff. Basically, what we do is we talk a lot about television, some movies, but mainly television. We do post-episode recaps, live viewings, drunk commentary games, and just general analysis. So if you love television, you don't have a ton of people to talk about television, or you just cannot get enough of some of these awesome shows like Vikings, Better Call Saul, Westworld, Game of Thrones, even The Walking Dead, and some other random shows that just pop up here and there. If you cannot get enough of all those programs and you want to talk about them, jump on over, join in the live motherfucking chat with some of the best people in the world that all share their thoughts real time whenever we go live. So if you subscribe to the YouTube channel, you follow the YouTube channel by clicking that little bell thing, you can find out anytime we go live. You can also check out issuesprogram.com for a backload of all of our stuff and check out our podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, and lots of other places. Huge thanks to all of you, and hope you check it out and hope you enjoy it. And I'll talk to you guys next time.
Hello, bastards and wenches, and welcome to another Anime NYC 2019 podcast special. I am your king, baby, Doc Evan Borgo. Thank you once again for tuning in. Today, you are going to hear an excellent roundtable interview with voice actor Justin Briner, best known as the lovable hero to be Deku in My Hero Academia, Enta in Sada Zanmai, Yukito in Cardcaptor Sakura Clear Card, and Ginro in Dr. Stone. B3 was joined by Gemstone Publishing, Black Girls Anime, Anime Lately, and Toonami Faithful for this discussion. So, let's go plus ultra as we fire up this Anime NYC interview podcast special with the one and only Justin Briner. My hero, you will show me what I gotta do. Made up my mind, wanna be like you, don't care. Whatever you say, I know I'll be serving you.
Obviously, you had done not just anime roles, but major anime prior to My Hero. But My Hero is by far and large the most significant and probably the biggest lead role that you've had.
Sure.
I mean, over the last few years, My Hero Academia has become just this sort of like cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
What, I mean, if you could just sort of reflect on what this series has meant for you and what it's meant for your career. And,
sure. Yeah, I mean, my involvement in the show has changed so much for me in my work world and my social world. It's been amazing. So, I mean, being a part of anime to begin with and dubbing it and all that has been really special to me for a long time. So to see a show like My Hero that I resonated with right away, it's the sort of show that I would love even if I had nothing to do with it, take on such a life of its own is really special. And especially getting to go off to conventions and meet folks who are touched so deeply by the material is especially rewarding. It's just telling a kind of story that I think a lot of people need right now. Deku is a character that a lot of people see parts of themselves in. And to be able to root for him is, in a way, rooting for yourself and your friends. And he struggles with a lot of things that I think are pretty classic for everyone growing up. So to have a character like him and to portray a character like him is very meaningful to me. And I just tried from the beginning to do as honest a portrayal as I could because he means so many different things. And the show means so many different things to so many different people for all kinds of reasons. And yeah, just getting to talk and pick people's brains about the show and why they love it and who they love is really amazing.
Awesome. Yeah.
Moving from one big show like My Hero Academia to probably the biggest show this year, which is Dr. Stone.
Hey, yeah. Yes.
So can you tell me a little bit how you came about taking on the role of Ginru, who's kind of like, he's brave, but he's kind of an idiot too.
Yes, he's very relatable in a lot of maybe the worst ways. Ginru's awesome. I basically, Clifford, the director of Dr. Stone, called me in, had done a lot of research going into it, from what I understand, about who he wanted for these characters. He wanted to make sure he had people in mind, even for characters that showed up 5-10 episodes later. So he considered me for Ginru and called me in. And it's just a hoot. Like, I love the show and the sort of science elements that they're trying to bring to it. I think it's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. And just to be Ginro is kind of the voice of the people in his group. He's where everyone else is so gung-ho about the adventures and science and doing all this crazy prehistoric stuff. Ginro's like, wait, hold on, that's dangerous. But he, you know, it also gives him character moments that make him shine, and we can celebrate him for it. But basically, it's just an endeavor of going as crazy as Ginro needs me to go, and being wacky and zany in all the right places. He speaks the truth, but ratcheted up to like 11. So it's a lot of fun.
You know, when he doesn't have his face punched in there, and everyone's like,
yeah, exactly. But you know, it's all about those character moments for Ginro, and he's owning it, even if he doesn't know what's going on.
Awesome. Now I do have a question.
Yeah.
Awesome, yeah.
Hey.
So, I know, I follow you on Twitter, we do, Black Girls Anime. So, I know today's a big day, I saw you tweet about it.
Uh-huh.
Sword and Shield.
Yes!
Which one will you be getting?
I got Shield.
Oh,
nice.
Cool. Great choice.
So if y'all need ponytails, you know. Yeah. I waited up last night till midnight to get it all preloaded and everything, and I've been playing it kind of sparingly last night, today, and it's been a ton of fun. I've been playing Pokemon since I was, like, this big, so, I don't know, I'm all excited, I spoiled myself on everything, it's been great.
I mean, on the topic of video games,
yes.
You've done video game voice acting.
Mm-hmm.
Could you sort of go over the difference between what it's like to do voice acting roles for anime versus video games?
Yeah, anime in particular is a very kind of specific beast, because it's very technical in the nature of having to match the animation, match the mouth movements, all that. So, you know, sometimes you may have, like, a really great read in your head for when you see the line, and it just doesn't, there's no way you can make it fit or work. And, you know, it can be disappointing, but it's also a really fun challenge. But video games are so much more freeform. Like, in my experience, I can't think of any game I've recorded for where I've had, like, even character artwork to look at. It's a lot of, like, just incorporating everything the director tells you and play. So there will be lots of lines, no real context for it, and sometimes paragraphs full of things you have to record. So it's a lot more liberating, but it's also a lot more, I think, I have less information, so there's more kind of personal detective work I have to do. But it's really fun. Like, I love them both for the challenges they present and how different they are from each other. It's just sort of getting in the particular mindset for each one and getting excited about it. But I love it.
Yeah, so I'm aware that you read the manga for My Hero Academia.
Mm-hmm.
So does that help you prepare for the role as Deku? And do you, like, think about, like, how you'll, like, perform certain lines eventually when you look at those different scenes?
I try not to. I first of all, I do. I read the manga and I love it. I can't help myself. I'm there every week, like, this is awesome. But I try not to at least get too attached to, like, deliveries in my head or lines that stick out to me. I'm very excited for moments that I see that stick out. And I'm like, that was awesome. I can't wait to see that animated. But aside from that, because so much changes from the adaptation of the manga to the translation of the anime to the adaptation of the anime to when it gets to me, and then even then we may have to change a word here and there. So if I go in thinking about how much I really want to say this one line Deku said and how I'm going to say it, I may have just worked myself up over nothing.
Mm.
So, you know, it's great to enjoy the story that's being told and look forward to the story beats that are going to happen. Like, this season I've been waiting for such a long time, and I feel like a lot of manga readers feel the same. But I'm most excited to see all of what I liked about that arc pop up off the page. So I try to just enjoy it on its own, and then when I'm in the booth, then it's time to think about working.
And speaking up about this season, what are you most excited about this season? Since you just said that you read the series, you read this arc.
Yes.
What are you most excited about this? What are you probably disappointing most anime watchers?
It's probably some of the darkest material.
Right?
We all know.
This is it's going to test a lot of what we know about some of the characters that we love. And also, we're going to get some really shining moments from characters that may not have had the spotlight until now. So what I love about the show is every character out there is someone's favorite, and there's hundreds of them. So to get, you know, your favorite character to have some time in the limelight, I think is really cool. And for a lot of fans, that moment is coming. Otherwise, yeah, it's just going to be... It's very intense, and I'm really excited to see how they translate that into the animation. And so far, they've been doing a really, really good job.
Okay, well, we spoke about how My Hero's become this cultural phenomenon.
Yeah.
It's kind of almost gone beyond just the anime community.
Absolutely.
To everywhere else. I imagine this is a different level of pressure to kind of be the lead. And that, can you speak about that?
Yeah, I mean, I always feel a certain amount of weight to get things right and make sure all these character moments are hitting, because it really, like you said, it's taken on such a life of its own. And so I want to make sure that I'm doing the work, I'm doing it well, I'm prepared for it, and when I'm talking to fans, that we're able to collaborate and communicate over stuff like that. Because it's just really special. Growing up, anime wasn't really cool. I mean, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was great. But, you know, I couldn't talk to my family about it without their eyes glazing over. Or you know, video games were the same way. But now, with Hero, it's like you said, it's more than anime to some people. It's, for some folks, they'll tell me this anime... Watching My Hero has allowed them to enjoy anime and find other shows that they really enjoy that way, that they wouldn't have had an opportunity to discover without having that sort of gateway. Or really, you know, like, I'll have folks come up to my booth at cons like this that are families. My whole family watches this together, they'll say, and I think that's the coolest thing. Like, just to be able to share such a cool show and project and world with your family or with friends that you've made at conventions or have met online and stuff like that. It's really, it's amazing. I love seeing that anime has come into its own culturally here, and I just really want to do whatever I can to help guide that along. And being a part of the show that is so beloved is pressure is not exactly the right word, but I just do. I have the compulsion to, and I feel like a lot of my castmates feel the same, to get it right and make it so everyone who's coming to watch every week enjoys what they're seeing.
Moving from the big shonen stuff to something I would probably consider a little bit artsy, Sarazan Mai. So Sarazan Mai, it's a mixture of craziness and wackiness, but there's a lot of deepness in the story of Sarazan Mai. And playing the role of Enta, I'm wondering what was going on through your mind while portraying this character who is going through like this secret crush for the main character, and not only has to profess his true feelings, but even sometimes even sing his true feelings.
So on a very personal, selfish level, I loved being in a musical anime. Like a lot of my training growing up was on stage or in musical theater, so that was a really nice marriage of kind of where I come from and what I'm doing now. And like you said, Enta, he's one of anime's kind of few canon LGBTQ representations. So I felt like I wanted to have an honest and exciting portrayal of this character that I thought a lot of people would try to identify with. He's not the best person in the world, and I think that's sort of also a cool facet to his character that, you know, it's a coming-of-age story at its core. Despite all the craziness surrounding it, it's about three kids who are trying to find their identities and their place in the world. And his story is deeply personal and very sad. Ultimately, because he's wrestling with his own feelings, and they are, it's forcing him to act out in ways that he can't help. And I just think it's really cool. I loved getting to tell that story and see how it ended up, and singing every week was a joy. So I had a ton of fun working on that. Getting to help tell their story and cross it over here is really cool. Thank you. Yeah.
So, kind of getting on the basis of you and your background, so what is the most, because you were talking about being cool earlier and like all your moments sharing with your family, yes, so bringing that, all those memories back, what you're just talking about, what's the best moment as you being a voice actor in the industry from any character you're referenced?
Oh, wow. Yeah, I mean, I guess in the time that I've been doing this, and it's so hard to pick. I love all my children so much. but one a moment that sticks out to me just for my own fandom and being a part of this world is, I think, San Diego Comic-Con 2 years ago. Horikoshi-sensei, the author of My Hero Academia, came to San Diego. And it was his first international trip. So already being a part of that is like, whoa, wow. But we had a huge panel. Every hero panel is always packed. But, you know, the creator is there. So people are, like, barging in and trying to get room and be a part of this panel. And just getting to hear him talk about his work and the choices that he makes going into creating characters or stories is so fascinating. So, yeah, just to be able to kind of share that with him and be up there listening to him talk about his work and this show that so many people love and has grown so exponentially in the past like 5 years is incredible. So that really stands out as a moment that I'll always very deeply treasure. Thank you.
And plus going as well to a show that is kind of like big as My Hero, Black Clover. You play Luck as well. How did it feel like playing like a different character as Deku, who's, you know, went from being shy to now he is, you know, trying to be the hero, to Luck, who's always want to fight? Like, how did it feel?
Luck cracks me up. He's a kid who knows what he's about, you know? He wants to fight everyone. And it's cool. It's two very different sort of characters that you get to play. And with Deku especially, every episode largely is told through his eyes, or he's at least narrating what is going on. And Luck, he's just kind of going with the flow. He's doing his own thing. He'll pop out for 20 episodes, come back in, have an awesome fight, and go again. So yeah, it's just very different kinds of characters and portrayal. Like for Black Clover, they've been doing about an episode a week since they started. Yeah. So that's been chugging along, and it's nice to see how that's grown and gotten an audience just by having so much content over the past 2 years. Whereas Hero takes breaks, it moves a little more slowly. So yeah, there will be times when I'm doing Black Clover for a whole season, and there will be times where I don't hear anything about it, and there will be times where My Hero just isn't happening. So you kind of got to wait and be like, I want to do more of this character. When's he coming back? So yeah, that's sort of the real difference, is just how the production of it goes.
To sort of continue from that, I feel like a lot of fans who are trying to get into voice acting in some sort of capacity don't necessarily understand like how it actually works. So I'm curious if you could maybe go over some of the, I guess, less savory sort of aspects of the voice acting industry that people don't necessarily would think about when trying to break in.
Sure. Oh gosh. Well, not every show that you work on will become My Hero. we didn't even think My Hero would become My Hero. So, you know, that's a whole, like, that's such a flash in the pan experience that I hope for everyone, but it's not, not always feasible. But gosh, voiceover, at least for anime dubbing and video games in my personal experience have been, it's just me in there, you know? It's me in the booth, and the director and the engineer are outside. You don't really get to play off of anyone or see the people that you're working with unless you cross them in the hall or something. So, yeah, it's way harder and way more isolating than I think a lot of people may expect. You know, if you're most experienced with cartoons and all that, then yes, you're all in the room together playing off each other, joking around. But it's just not the same way with anime dubbing, which I feel like a lot of folks are trying to break into. Otherwise, it's you gotta really be an actor first.
Yeah.
And you know, everyone's heard it all before, but I can't stress how important it is to be acting or performing in some capacity already, or building that vocabulary. I feel like what draws a lot of folks to voiceover is that they don't have to perform in front of people. But the only real way to get over that sort of stage fright and is to do it and to get out there and perform, whether that's acting courses or even, you know, nowadays you can just do projects online and collaborate in that nature, which is really cool. But you gotta you have to be performing to get in. Otherwise, a lot of folks aren't taking chances on people who don't have an acting background anyhow, mm-hmm. or haven't taken courses. So, yeah, my best advice is really just to go out there, do it, find what you love about this industry and performing. And if you find out that you don't really love to act, then there's so many other things you can devote that passion to. But if you find out that you do love to act, then awesome. You're already putting in the legwork to do it.
Going back to LGBT positive characters, mm-hmm. One other character you got to play, kind of iconic because it's in Cardcaptor Sakura, the yes. character Yukito, oh. which you got to work with Clifford Chapin
right.
as kind of the boyfriend character in
yes.
that show. So I'm wondering what your mentality was like with playing him, because this is Cardcaptor Sakura is huge.
Mm-hmm.
That's like one of the most iconic shoujo like magical girl series ever.
Yeah. Oh, I was so thrilled to be a part of it. Like, I grew up watching a little bit of Cardcaptors, and it was so different back then. So this clear card dub, the director, Caitlin, went through a lot of pains to keep everything as like the Japanese as possible. Getting to kind of reinvent the characters of Yue and Yukito in that capacity was really awesome. Yue is such like, I loved playing Yue, especially because he's some celestial being at heart. We wanted to play up that androgyny and that spirituality that he embodies. And then Yukito is just a perfect little boy next door. I liked that he had the relationship with Sakura's brother, and they didn't really, they didn't make a whole lot of it. But they didn't have to. All of what you saw was perfectly content and good and healthy, I think. So I really liked, I just like being in that world. I love, Cardcaptor is so much fun.
Agree.
Yeah.
So like the break between like season 3 and season 4 of My Hero was a lot more significant than previous seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Was it harder to get back into the role of Deku after that amount of time, or was it not that bad?
It's never really a struggle anymore, because I've lived with that character for so long now. But it was tough to wait so long. It was really tough. Over the past year during the break, I've been doing a lot more of appearances at conventions and stuff. So I still get to do the practice and do the lines for fans who come to say hi and everything. But yeah, I do think there was a little bit of shakiness getting back into the character after a year, but after I want to say like half an hour or an hour, it all came back and it felt like old times again.
We came back from the interview with J. Michael Tandem, and he tells us usually there is no rehearsal, it's usually just go in improv.
Yep.
And everybody has fun with it. How did it go for you with improvising as Deku all over again every seven of the episodes?
Yeah, it's exactly. It's all cold reading, so we don't really know the script or the lines at all before going into the booth, and then basically you gotta match the time and match the emotion and put them together and hope that it worked, and if not, we're doing it again. But it's been great. I'm just trying to, as far as Deku goes, play every moment as truthfully and honestly as I can. In superhero society, he still feels like a very real kid to me, and what he goes through feels very very true. So I want to each line make sure that it's in the moment and honest, and that people who love this character can relate to it and support him. So not a whole lot of improvisation goes on for me. I will, you know, and inject a little character in while I can, but otherwise it's a lot of seeing what the Japanese say you did and putting my spin on that or making adjustments where I can, so we're telling the same kind of story.
So kind of tying into that, do you do like a lot of research before you go into a role, or do you kind of try to learn it as you go on?
I very rarely do a lot of character research before I find out like what they are about, because I like those initial moments in the booth of seeing what the character is bringing and sort of doing my own little deductions and working with the director to build this character. I feel like I can get into the trap sometimes of doing too much research beforehand and then being a little too married to my expectations or my own feelings about characters that may end up not being correct. I have a lot of faith put in the directors to kind of guide me along the way. And I, of course, now that I've been doing this for a while and I'm acting for gosh, forever, I have my own kind of process that goes into it that's gotten pretty well honed. But it really is nothing without the collaborative nature of having the director there to say, guide me down the path, and that kind of thing.
Okay, so from that process that mm-hmm. you're talking about, because I've done research on you as what, you know, you don't need certain characters.
Yeah.
But everyone has their special nick or special thing they like to do before they go in the booth.
Uh-huh.
So do you have anything like a special chain or maybe chew mint gum?
Sure, yeah. I have like a pretty standard warm-up routine that I try to go through before I record any time. And I'm also very musically driven, so a lot of that amounts to singing. Singing in like ranges that might suit the character that I'm going into. Like for Deku, he's on kind of the higher range of my voice, so I'll try to warm up a little higher that day or warm down lower. Scales, diction exercises, singing, whatever is in my audition repertoire at the time. That's usually what I go to when I'm preparing for going to work.
You have a certain song that you sing.
Oh, gosh. I do. There's a song called King of the World from a show called Songs for a New World by Jason Robert Brown.
Now, I know we're getting to the end of our time here because I see you've returned. So I want to make sure that I ask before we're escorted out of here if there's anything coming down the pipeline for you that you are legally allowed to tell us about today.
Sure. Yeah. My Hero Season 4 started out. Fire Force, I just joined the cast.
Yes,
that's right. So on Toonami, thank you. Black Clover is still chugging along on Toonami, which is awesome. And of course, Dr. Stone is on Toonami now. So if you ever want to hear my voice scattered around, just Saturday nights, nice to be. Otherwise, I just started a show called Stars Align about like
I love that show.
I just started watching it.
I hope you enjoy it. It's been really cool so far. The kind of things that they're diving into are really fascinating. So yeah, Stars Align just started up this season, and I highly recommend it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah,
awesome.
One thing that I want to ask last is that with the two characters that you have, Ido, Deku, and Luck, they both have Santa a mentor, online and Captain Yami.
Yeah.
If you had to choose one as your mentor, who would you choose?
Oh my! Every time. I love Yami, but I don't think he is much of a caretaker.
He didn't even flinch.
I saw you tweeted out that you hope that you had a lucky day. I would like to ask, are you having a lucky day today?
Oh my gosh, every time I get to be one of these is lucky. And I'm in New York. Like I used to live here about 6 years ago. So any opportunity I have to come back here is truly lucky to me.
And plus we're glad to have you.
Thank you, it's great to be here.
Thank you so much.
Of course.
And we didn't touch on one anime that I really wanted to ask you about, so just in case anyone else needs this. So, Seraph of the End. Right? Nice. You are Michaela.
Uh-huh.
I really want. If you have anything, a scoop on Seraph of the End, like when season 3 could be dropped,
I wish. I'll be the last one to know. But I sure hope that I, from what I understand, their intention was always to come back and do a little more of Seraph. That's the same studio that works on Attack on Titan, which is now finally wrapping up. So maybe, but I have no clue. I really hope so.
Thank you so much.
Can't undo.